$1,000. Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, here's a prediction for you. I think the first female president will be a Republican, and her name will be Nikki Haley.
I agree.
Absolutely. Nikki Haley.
I think she's great. I think she's well-liked and respected across the board. I don't think I've ever heard a negative thing about her. I agree with you. I think she'll be the first one president. I just don't know when. You know, it's all the timing. Let's say Trump wins again. That takes him till 2020. Awfully difficult to keep it in the same party.
That's very true.
All timing.
That's very true. But I would say what's remarkable about Nikki Haley, who yesterday resigned as the ambassador to the United Nations, is she's, well, here's something, you know, in her favor. She went out in a classy way from the Trump administration. And how often does that happen?
You're picking on how things go in the Trump administration?
I'm just saying that some of the people in the Trump administration have gone out, shall we say, with a little bit of a cloud over their head.
The mooch? But spicy?
Oh, Len's got the list. He's got the list.
H.R. McMaster, where do you want to go?
But Nikki Haley is leaving in a classy way, and you can tell that Trump likes her. We all like Nikki Haley here. We are sorry to see her go, but mark my words, folks, we have not seen the last of Nikki
Haley. I don't think we have either, but of course the great mystery is why. You know, I love all the theories. My favorite theory is she wanted to make more money, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
Also, listen, she has been dealing with a lot. She was governor during a hurricane. She's been working nonstop for years and years.
That's the public thing. You know that's not true.
And she hates John Bolton, I suspect.
Well, anything they said publicly, you know, isn't true. So it could have been, you know, the first theory is that Bolton and Pompeo are getting all the publicity and they've taken over and they're running the show and that's kind of shoved her back of the line. I don't know if I buy that one. I do buy the theory that she wants to make more money.
Why not?
She's not making as much as you, ambassador. All she
has to do is appear on television and she's going to get more people interested in her than looking at Pompeo and Bolton with his walrus mustache, for God's sake. All right, that leads off the big three. Also in the big three, now here's something Len and I did not see coming, even though it's named after me, Hurricane Michael. A couple of days ago, we're sitting around saying, should we talk about this thing? It looks like it's going to be nothing. All of a sudden, practically overnight, this hurricane has gone from a Category 1 to a Category 4. They are evacuating the Florida Panhandle, and this thing looks like it could be absolutely devastating.
Well, if you look at the video that they show you on television of the satellite imaging, and this thing's a monster storm.
Huge.
And, you know, a Category 4, that's 140-mile-an-hour winds.
I know.
That's going to blow over your grass hut there on the panhandle. So, my God.
What do you mean, my grass hut?
Well, whatever. It's not going to, you know, huff and blow your house down.
What, do you think people in the panhandle don't have proper homes?
I didn't say that. They have grass homes down there? I did not
say
that.
Are you belittling people here in the panhandle?
Len's people, they're in Miami. That's all he cares about. But those people in the panhandle, they live in grass huts.
I didn't say that.
Oh, they have no teeth.
Yeah.
They eat raccoons.
Listen to this.
Do you hear what he's saying?
This is all Riedel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all Riedel.
You're the one who said they live in grass huts.
Really?
They live in grass huts.
Why don't you call them crackers while you're at it?
I'm going to leave that to you.
I'm going to leave that to you. I mean, really? What do you say? They don't have teeth.
I mean, it's true they marry their cousins down there, but other than grass huts, please. And rounding out the big three, well, farewell to the New York Yankees. They lost last night to the Red Sox. The season is over with for the Yankees. I read something, Len, that perhaps you can explain to me, because I do read the sports pages these days to try to keep abreast of what's happening.
Just try to keep up.
Somebody said that the Yankees were kind of like a Potemkin Village team. They looked good on the surface, but when you dig down deep, there's not much there. Is that a fair criticism of the Yankees?
So what the hell is he talking about? What the hell is Potemkin Village? Is that someone who sells like,
it's a Potemkin
Cadillacs?
Village. It's a fake village meant to look great, but behind it is it's just a facade. There's nothing
like a movie
there.
Set?
Yeah, exactly. Well, is that a fair criticism of the Yankees?
No, yes and no. I've said from the beginning, in fact, I said earlier, you guys never listen when I get a prediction right. I said
we never listen when you do anything.
I never want a prediction now.
Well, I'm just saying I said in the beginning I thought the starting pitching was going to be a little problem, and it has been a problem. Right. So that's all there on paper. You see what the starting pitching is, and that's what did them in, was the starting pitching. By the way, when it comes to predictions, you guys were ragging on me yesterday. Let me explain something. You say, well, who's going to win the game? I don't know who's going to win the game. So, of course, I said I was leaning toward the Red Sox last night.
That wasn't a prediction. That wasn't a prediction.
Of course, you guys weren't going to bring up. You'd only bring it up if I had said, oh, I think the Yankees are going to win. Then you'd rag
you
all over me.
You didn't predict the Red Sox
Len,
were going
I had to
win.
I had to put thumb screws on you to get a prediction out of you
and
yesterday.
And it wasn't even a prediction. Well, here's why. Had the advantage.
Okay. Let me explain why. Because you never know in sports. Let me tell you about
Wow. Who knew?
Let me tell you about my favorite prediction.
Yeah.
Before the 1980 Olympics, the Russians played the U.S. hockey team at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, right. The Russians beat the U.S. hockey team 10-3. I went on television, and someone sent me the tape recently. I went on TV on Channel 2 and said, why bother having the Olympic hockey tournament? Just take the gold medals right now and send them to Russia.
Ooh.
You heard of the Miracle on Ice?
Oh, yeah, there you
are. Well, so that's why I'm not big on sports predictions.
Well, you know, my favorite prediction of all time was that Hillary Clinton will win the 2016 presidential election.
Right.
I love that prediction.
You weren't alone, I'm telling you. But last night in the Bronx.
Swung on, tapped down to third, slowly hit, charging as Nunez. He fires to first, stretch, got him! What a play by Pierce! And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees. However, Aaron Boone might challenge this call.
Well, that's what happened. See, that was on WEEI, the Boston station. That was Joe Castiglione. And, you know, nowadays, was anybody awake for this? But apparently there was a video replay. So they were all jumping around on the mound and celebrating. Then they have to stop. And there's a video replay. And they confirmed, yes, he was out. Then they start jumping again. So you get timeout and the jumping around?
The previous game, they got it wrong three times. So
he did in the first couple of innings. Yeah. Angel Hernandez, the umpire, was just brutal.
Yeah,
and he was the home plate umpire last night.
They were complaining about him,
well,
too.
Well, the Yankees were. Red Sox, though, did a great job. Anyway.
And now they play the Houston Astronauts.
Houston Astros. Look really good.
Whoops.
And, you know, the National League is the Dodgers and the Brewskis.
Ah.
So,
all right, Len, what's your prediction?
Well, my prediction.
Who's going to the World Series?
The two teams I like the best the way they're playing are Houston and Milwaukee.
Over the Red Sox.
Yeah, I just love the way Houston's playing. I think they're a tremendous baseball team that we don't, a little bit underrated because we don't see them as much as the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are great. Here's another prediction. Whoever wins the American League Championship Series will then win the World Series. But I think Milwaukee is like one of the unknown great teams out there.
Look
so
at Len.
I'll go with Houston,
practically
Milwaukee.
A fortune teller today, looking into his sports crystal ball.
You guys
ball.
Can't wait until it's a Dodgers-Red Sox World Series. I know who's, then you'll rag all over me. You know who really wants Dodgers-Red Sox? Of course, the TV and the radio people, you know, that'll be the big ratings grabber. A Houston-Milwaukee World Series will not be a big rating success. They're obviously smaller markets and not as well-known around the country. So.
I'm with you, Len. I agree. I think Houston's probably going to win it again.
They're playing.
They're really terrific. Good, solid all around.
All around. Bullpen, starting pitching, starting lineup, speed, defense. They're a terrific team.
Yep.
I'm going to have to watch one of these games.
Yes, they're called the Astros. By the way,
I thought they were the Astronauts.
Well, as you know, they came into the National League the same year as the New York Mets, in 1962.
Of course,
and you know what their nickname was. It was not the Astros when they came in. They were the Houston
Oilers.
Incorrect.
No. Colt 45s.
The Colt 45s. Could you imagine?
I thought the Baltimore Colts, weren't they?
It was the Baltimore Colts. But that wasn't about a gun. This was a shoot-em-up.
I gotta step away from the microphone now because I don't know anything that you guys are talking about.
Well, listen to this. If you had a team named after a Colt 45s in this era of guns, and then, you know, the Washington Bullets were the basketball team, they changed their name because of bullets fly.
You know, that's probably more controversial now than being named after Native Americans if you're named after guns.
Oh, sure.
Well, there aren't too many teams named the
Bullets, the Colts. I like that. The Winchester Rifles.
The Winchesters, yeah. No, you don't have too many Winchesters.
The Dallas AKA 47s take the field this morning.
Brought to you by the Second Amendment.
All right, let's get to something that I do know a little
bit
about.
Which is what?
Which is Nikki Haley. Yeah. I have to say, and I'll concede this to you, Len, that some of the Trump people have been a little sketchy, all right?
You're the one who brought it up.
No,
I love the way he says it and then attributes it to me. You started out by saying she'd left on the high road, in the Trump administration.
Well, Trump, you know, he was figuring things out. He picked a few people in the beginning who may not quite have been up to the job.
He still has some people there.
But boy, Nikki Haley is one impressive person. Her speeches at the UN are great. And also, here's what's brilliant about her. She's figured out a way to disagree with Trump without making him mad at her.
Yeah, that's
without
true.
Alienating her.
By the way, I thought she was brilliant until she said this.
I can't say enough good things about Jared and Ivanka. Jared is such a hidden genius that no one understands.
Well, he's unknown hidden genius.
You don't know what's going on. He's orchestrating a peace plan in the Middle East as it's going on right now. So, you know, hold your fire there, Len.
Then I will salute him. When he has peace in the Middle East, I will say hidden, unknown hidden genius. Until then, I have my doubts.
Listen, just say you like Nikki Haley. She sees something in Jared that you don't.
I don't have to love everything about her, but I do love her.
A Nikki Haley, Jared ticket. That's it. To the White House.
Oh, yeah, that would be a winner.
2020.
Yeah, why don't you throw Eric as Secretary
of State? I still say
State.
Trump and Haley in 2020.
Could be, because Pence is too boring.
I was thinking of that yesterday. I would think Haley would be a better choice than Pence.
Bye-bye, Pence. Yeah. All right, when we come back, the hurricane is headed to the panhandle. Don't want to be in that pan. WOR's Ray Stajic joins us with the details on a monster storm. Plus, your next chance to win $1,000, $1,000, coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic. Bernie Viner.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
At 6:23, we're going to go to Ray Stajic momentarily to talk about the monster storm heading to the panhandle. But all morning long, Michael's been telling us about this interview he was watching with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, you were saying that she didn't, she seemed a little bit, non-responsive in the
I would call it dead.
Well, okay.
There's
an
interview on YouTube. Natalie, we should get this and put it up on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. I came across this interview, a very recent interview, just a couple of days ago on the eve of the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh.
Was she drooling? What is she doing?
No, she's not drooling, but, well, Joe just looked at it. I mean, her head is down.
Well, she's
and her
tired.
Eyes are practically closed for the whole thing.
Len, I mean, she's barely
It's like the interviewer is giving her Jell-O pudding to feed her in the Alzheimer's unit.
A couple of steps away from Stephen Hawking.
well, that's right. Whoa, boy.
You guys, you Republicans are brutal.
But you guys
are insulting.
I'm say something serious here, though, okay?
Yeah.
All right? She is a justice of the Supreme Court. If she can't keep it together, if she is too old, she has got to step down. She can't just be up there because we need to keep those liberals up there. That is a problem for the country. Mm. If a woman who is dying,
she has her brain. She still has her. As long as you have your brain, you're fine.
Glenn, have you looked at this video?
No. Anyway, there is that brain. The reason I brought it up, Joe, you know, Rito's telling me about this amazing panel discussion he did last night at some highfalutin arts center.
Yeah.
And they put out a picture on Twitter. Rito looked like he was falling asleep. Looked like his eyes were closed and his head was down.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yeah, no, my head was not down. I wasn't drooling, and nobody was feeding me Jell-O pudding.
You were pulling a Ruthie during that thing.
I was not.
I'm telling you.
Find that and put that up, too.
Have you posted it?
And let's compare.
Side by side.
Side by side, Rito and Ruth Bader
who's
Ginsburg.
Who's more truly?
You decide who's dead, okay? 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. You decide who's dead, me or Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, yeah, I can tell you're going to be dead if you don't move out of the panhandle. Let's go to Ray Stajic at the Weather Channel. Hi, pal. This is Category 4. This is major stuff.
Yeah, Len. And, you know, in all seriousness, you might be right. As the Weather Service in Tallahassee put out a statement that basically was ominous, to say the least, where they went back in the history books and they said, we found nothing for a storm of this type in this part of the country. So this is something that is going to be record-breaking. It already has been in terms of some of the pressures that it's set. And the tweet that the Weather Service out of Tallahassee said, basically, we don't have anything in the record books, especially for this time of year, that even matches this. So it'll be record-breaking on many levels, and it already has been on some. It could be the strongest hurricane ever in October with sustained winds greater than 130 miles per hour to make landfall. It is currently at 140 and forecast to go to 145. Still a Category 4, but is showing signs of holding its own or even strengthening a little bit more with nothing to slow it down. And no U.S. hurricane has ever made landfall in October with sustained winds over 130 miles per hour. We got that. Waves over 25 feet have been measured in the Gulf of Mexico. And we could see some unprecedented storm surge or water rises in places like Apalachicola and in and around Panama City. So that's just some of the records that may actually be broken. So it'll be the fifth time we've had a Category 4 make landfall in October. The last was Hazel in 1954. So it's been a long time in the month of October since we've seen something like this. And in some cases for the Panhandle, never have we seen a storm.
By the way,
like this.
Just as an aside, I think Hazel came up here. I remember Hazel being in New Jersey or something.
Yeah, 54. Yeah, you were around. I wasn't, but yeah, I think it was.
Hey, Ray, I'm interested in this hurricane because it's named after me.
Oh, yeah, that's
but,
right.
But
that's the only reason, probably.
Right.
Explain this to me, Ray. 2 days ago, Len and I were like, there's a hurricane coming. Big deal. Doesn't look like anything. Usually we hear the hurricane's coming 4 or 5 days. They're talking about, how did this hurricane get so big overnight?
Well, I don't know about overnight, but I think part of it was a holiday weekend. Part of it was we've kind of had our storm this year, right? And I think after you get one big storm like Florence, everybody may be kind of like, well, we're into October now, and, you know, maybe we don't get something like this. But I will say this. I mean, us here, and I know I myself in South Florida have been talking for 2 weeks about maybe something in the early part of October developing in the southern Gulf of Mexico. So the word was out that something may be happening. We were talking about it on the Weather Channel. And we had been forecasting through the weekend that this storm was going to get stronger. Maybe not the Category 4 strength, but I think, Michael, even being a holiday weekend, that may have something to do with it. And then let's put into it the historical perspective, where you're in October now, and yeah, hurricanes do happen, but the intensity of this storm is maybe what people got caught off guard by, because it is rare that you get a storm this strong in October.
Hey, when's the next update coming?
Next update from the Hurricane Center just before 8 o'clock.
All right. If something changes, could you get back to us?
Excellent. Yeah,
thanks,
I will.
Pal. Okay. All right. Ray Stajic, Weather Channel. He's been on TV all night as well. I think he's been up all night covering this thing. This is one monster storm coming to the Panhandle. Yeah. And we'll have a live report from Panama City from ABC News coming up on this show right here. From Pete Combs at 8:50 or so. 8:40. Make that 8:40. Hey, let's check the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Len. Well, this is what the Florida Governor Rick Scott is saying about Hurricane Michael. It can kill you.
8 to 12 feet of storm surge is absolutely deadly. I cannot stress enough how dangerous this storm surge will be.
All right. Get that message out there. Brake issue reportedly caused a limo that crashed in upstate New York to fail an inspection last month. There are some brake issues involved here. Now, the driver, Scott Lesnickia, was driving this limo and apparently blew through a stop sign, crashing, killing 20 people, 18 in the vehicle, including himself and two pedestrians. His family is now blaming the limo. This is the spokesman for his family.
The wife told me that he had complained to her regarding the condition of some of the vehicles. In fact, they said that one time he was driving one of the vehicles and a muffler fell off with clients in the car, and he had to stop the car, get out of the car, and remove the muffler and put it to the side of the roadway.
Officials say there are no skid marks at the crash scene, so it doesn't seem like there was any sudden braking. President Trump held a campaign-style rally in Iowa telling voters not to give Democrats control of Congress in the midterms. He said that would plunge the country into chaos. He says the only reason to vote for a Democrat is if you're tired of winning. No word on who's going to replace Nikki Haley after she made that surprise announcement that she's resigning as UN ambassador. The president said his daughter Ivanka would be a dynamite pick, but she won't be hired because of nepotism. She later put out a post on Twitter saying, "Is not going to be me." The lottery numbers were drawn last night for the big jackpot. I think it was $470 million. No one won. The number is 20, 22, 39, 54, 60, and the power number.
Oh, my God, that's my ticket.
Yeah. Well, it's not your ticket. The power number was 18, so wow. The jackpot goes to $512 million on Friday.
Which one is this? Is this Mega or?
I think it's the Mega, yeah.
Friday is 520?
520.
I guess this is the time of year we have to get Natalie to collect the money and go buy the tickets. She loves that assignment.
Yeah, I really do. I don't know why it's me.
Finally here, people are throwing out their clothes quicker than ever. And it's not because of a style change or because they're tattered.
Because they outgrow them?
No.
They're too fat? No.
Bed bugs?
You'll never guess.
Oh, well, let's try to guess.
Let's try to guess. Let's eat up all of his time.
Yeah. why are people throwing out their clothes? Does it have anything to do with the way they smell?
Nope.
And it's not because they got fat?
Instagram.
What?
Instagram.
You can only wear it once on Instagram.
Well, actually, they say...
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. The limit, they say, is 3. But if you are seen on Instagram with the same thing more than Three times a year, you're a loser.
I've worn the same pants every morning this week. I
know. There's no joke. My daughter, thanks, she was going to go to a Sweet 16. I said, oh, why don't you wear that one, you know, again?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, but there's pictures of me in that one.
So it's not enough.
I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
No, because my wife will say, did I wear this the last time we were with these people? And of course, I don't know. But now it's not only if you wore it, but if it's
posted
on Instagram as well.
If it was posted.
One more reason not to have children.
No, another reason to stay off social media.
Natalie, how much money now do you have to spend on clothes for your kids because they can't wear it because it was on Instagram?
I never thought about it, but probably a little bit more.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Joey B. When we get back, show me the money. Our terrific conversation with Cuba Gooding Jr., who's now on Broadway in Chicago. Boy, what a good guy he is. And we're going to put a grand in your hand. Another chance for that coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. But right now, let's peek at the traffic with Bernie Viter.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're going to get to our fine interview with Cuba Gooding Jr. that we had on yesterday.
Yeah, I enjoyed
what
that.
Great guy. Terrific guy.
Yeah.
Lots
I
of fun.
Really enjoyed it.
And in fact, I am going to go see him in Chicago on Broadway at the Ambassador Theater.
Right.
He did it in London first, and I was talking to a friend of mine from London who's an agent over there, and he saw me, said he was absolutely sensational.
I didn't realize he was such a versatile, talented guy. All the film, stage, television. Yeah. He really is. Directs, writes.
Yep.
Quite a guy.
And now sings and dances on Broadway. But before we get to that, now here's a story that it's a foreign story, and I know, you know, not everyone is always interested in what's going on elsewhere in the world, but this caught the attention. Both you and me, I think.
Oh, I think it's a huge story.
So this guy, Jamal Khashoggi, all right, he's a Saudi Arabian journalist, very close to the family that runs Saudi Arabia. But he's kind of turned on them because the Saudi Arabian family there, they're, you know, a little bit of a brutal dictatorship. So
you're saying they're thugs.
They're thugs, yeah.
Okay.
So he starts writing negative stuff about the family for the Washington Post.
Yeah.
And he leaves the country and he proclaims himself a dissident. So he's living in Turkey. He wants to get a divorce, but he's got to get it at the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul. So he
goes. Paperwork?
Yeah. He goes to the embassy.
And there's video of him going in.
And not coming out.
Yeah.
And now we have learned that a team of like 12 Saudi Arabian assassins came into that embassy, including a medical examiner who brought a hacksaw with him. And they think this guy was killed in the embassy and then dismembered by the Saudi Arabian hit team trying to silence, and apparently successfully, this dissident. That is a creepy story.
Yeah, and our government's steering clear of this because we're.
Oh, stop it! Now you're going to turn it an anti-Trump thing.
I'm just saying that we don't want to get it. You know, we want to see what
happens. Well, we got to, you know, Trump. No, Trump is out there saying, you know, just wait and see. Let's see if there's some evidence. But something went on, and when I heard that they brought a hacksaw in there,
right? And how about the fact that they say the closed circuit camera wasn't working? That's why we don't see him going
leaving. Yeah, no, this is. This is really...
This is a high...
This is cloak and dagger hacksaw stuff,
this is an amazing story. Yeah.
So anyway. Cuba Gooding Jr., he was with us yesterday. He's on Broadway now in Chicago. Great fun, great sense of humor, and Len and I, we just had a good time talking to him.
Yeah, and he's playing the main role, Billy Flynn. Now, that was Richard Gere in the movie.
Yep.
Way back when I saw
Jerry Orbach
on Broadway in the original. Anyway, so I had a question for Cuba. So how do you like playing Billy Flynn on the Great White Way with Cuba?
I'm telling you, I'm having a ball. And I did 4 months on the West End in London, and we had great sold-out shows, you know, applause, great. Nothing compares to Broadway. Mm. These audiences, when I jump out there and I yell, is everybody here? The audience erupts, and every little thing you do, they just respond to it. It's been magical.
Now, so do you think he, Michael, I was first aware of him with Jerry Maguire. Was that his real breakthrough, or did people know of him before then?
Well, no, I knew him when he was a breakdancer behind Lionel Richie.
No, you didn't.
In 1982. No, it was, of course, Show Me the Money.
Yeah.
Show Me the Money.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, it was a thing. But, you know, the he has a movie coming out, too.
It's out.
It's out, right.
Yeah.
Bayou Caviar.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds fun.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, Bayou Caviar came to me as a script that was in development with a director attached. And when that director fell out, they offered me to direct it. And I said, well, if you allow me to do a 3-week pass on the script, if you like it, then I'll know that this is the project for me. And basically, it's a story of an impoverished community in New Orleans of a group of good people who get caught up in a bad deed, a sex tape. My character is an ex professional boxer who gets recruited by a mob boss played by Richard Dreyfuss to get some dirt on one of his employees. And so that begins the hijinks and the collaboration with a photographer played by Famke Janssen and her subject, Catherine McPhee, and then this underage girl played by Leah Johnson. And it's they all go on the road to redemption ultimately, but they go through the seedy part of life. And I think we did something great in New Orleans, which is a community who loves cinema.
And Michael, he wrote, directed, stars in it, did it all.
You know, this movie kind of brings to mind a wonderful movie also set in New Orleans that has the kind of the sleazy underbelly of New Orleans called The Big Easy. Remember that movie?
Oh, sure.
That was a great movie.
And he was in the trial of O.J. Simpson. He played O.J. Simpson on the FX series.
Brilliantly.
So between stage and film and all that he does, so we asked him about his what he's most proud of.
I think it might be this Broadway run, even though directing has always been my goal since I was, for about 10 years ago, I said I want, the end game is to direct. You know, I've always idolized careers like Clint Eastwood and Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner, these actors who transitioned to the directing chair. But I have to say, we lost my father last year, lead singer of The Main Ingredient, Cuba Gooding Sr., and when I stepped on that stage the first time and connected with that audience vocally, I understood my dad's life passion. Mm. And now a little bit has rubbed off of my soul, and I think this is something that I'd want to do or revisit again through the rest of my life because it really is magical, man.
And you guys told me not to ask this question, but of course I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I think it might be...
Now here it is. Behind the scenes here, they made me promise I wouldn't ask you this, but I don't listen to them. I just want to know how many times someone comes up to you and says, show me the money. That's all I want to know.
Every damn day.
Very good. Yeah. And there's Len in there with $1 million question.
Well, I wanted to know.
Show me the money.
You can see hear the entire interview on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. But that's, clearly, I'll bet you everybody says that to him. Whatever.
Of course they do. Walks down the street and people come and say, hey, show me the money. And just when you walk down the street, people come up and they say, let's go to the videotape.
No, they say,
that was got it.
They say, you know what they really say?
Natalie gets the joke.
Well, we know that's Warner. No, that's Warner. No, they say to me, how do you deal with Riedel on a day in and day out basis?
Yeah.
No, they say, and nobody got hurt, but I made the point of Joe Pesci, who was in Goodfellas.
Yep.
And the first time I saw him in the green room over at NBC, I said, you think I'm funny? Do I amuse you?
You didn't.
I did. Oh. And he looked at me like, what
daggers.
Are you talking about?
Wait a minute. You know what's amusing me? I'm looking at CNN, and the Chiron says, Hurricane Hunters flying inside Michael. Ouch!
What are they going to find?
I don't know.
Nothing.
I don't want to tell them.
Find an empty soul. That's what they're going to find.
When we get back, we've got a hot teacher, a hot grandma, and a hot dog. Hubba hubba, and I'm hot under the collar. Plus, if you want $1,000, your chance is coming up at 7:05 on 710WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Bernie Biker.
We've got over the edge here. Now we have naked ladies on our website. It's unbelievable. And this is all because of you, Riedel. Do you wake up in the morning and surf porn? Every morning we get these emails from Riedel. And this is the story. It's world's hottest grandma is banned from Instagram. And I can see why. I mean, she's totally naked in the shot.
Len, come on. When I brought that story to your attention, you were like hot under the collar. Hubba, hubba. Granny stuff, she's not a granny, okay? She's 48 years old.
You don't even say granny when you say this woman.
She's 48 years old.
Not the image you're thinking.
She has a grandchild.
No. I know. But when you say granny,
you think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Kind of.
Great granny.
Great.
Well, she's 48?
Yeah, she's a young grandmother.
Yeah.
My goodness. Anyway, there's a picture that was banned, and she fought the ban. They took her down completely. Her name is Gina Stewart. It's in Australia. And she claimed that Instagram removed the picture because it did not comply with their guidelines. But she says the guidelines say no nipples.
And guideline.
That's the guideline, which I think is a great guideline. I think that's when there's a guideline in life. Just no nipples.
There you go.
Well, you got to, well, as we learned yesterday from Dr. Oz, you better find those nipples to administer CPR because you got to go right between the nipples.
That's right.
The hands between the nipples. That's what he told us on our radio.
I'm administering CPR to this granny, I can tell
you. I'll tell you. I don't know if you could get between those. anyway, but she said,
I'm going to try.
She's asked Instagram to repost the picture because it's only a naked side shot and her hair is covering her. Natalie, can you be the official arbiter here? There are no nipples, right?
It's very close. It's very close.
Well, if you want to see the world's hottest grandma. And I can't believe we're putting naked pictures on our website. And I couldn't be prouder. Go to 710WR.com/LennonMichael. This is what you found. How do you find this stuff? I'm telling you, you surf for porn in the morning.
I go on the website of the New York Post, finest newspaper in the country. Yeah. They break all the big stories, and they are right on top of the hottest grandma in the world. And Anthony, who's our associate producer, who's, I don't know, lives with his parents still, so he's a kid.
He's moved on from that.
No, but you got to say, she's 48, but she's hot, right?
What do you think, Anthony?
Yes, he said him and his friends will agree on that.
He has three thumbs up, so yes, he says.
Speaking of hot, have you heard about this New Jersey high school teacher? She sent nude photos to a student. This happens on a sort of regular basis, all right? Her name is Michalina Ashele, she's 29, of Hillsboro Township.
She's attractive, by the way.
She's very cute. Yeah. Had been having sexually explicit conversations with a 17-year-old male student.
What's wrong with these teachers? I don't get it.
Well, I would say this. I suppose
every week there's
a story. I'll tell you.
Every day.
No, seriously, but here, I have a serious point to make here.
Uh-huh.
I think
this is going to be good.
Stop laughing at me, Anthony. here's a serious point. She's a young, attractive woman. Stuck out there in New Jersey. I'm sure that...
Wait a minute.
There you go. Now we're talking. Could be worse. She could be in the panhandle.
Come on.
I'm sure the dating pool there not so great.
That is not true.
Most of the guys she's going to meet her age are probably married now and want to have an affair with her. So, and the dates are probably bad.
She's 29.
She's 29, but she's in New Jersey, okay?
Anthony's in the mix here.
Well, he doesn't live in New Jersey.
He's way past that, but.
So she's bonding with the student, that teacher-student bond, which is very deep.
You're just digging a hole deeper.
And she just thinks this kid is kind of cute, and he's more interesting and more fun than a lot of those New Jersey guys have to meet at some bar somewhere who they're probably married or have a girlfriend. And she meets a young, attractive guy, and off she goes. I can understand it from the teacher's perspective.
You made a good case there.
Okay. You're okay with this.
I'm not okay with it.
Sold me. Ask the kid's parents.
However, maybe I should go out to New Jersey and... go to a parent-teacher meeting because I might do pretty well.
There's this thing called the Teacher Convention. It's in November in Atlantic City. Lots of teachers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forget Alice Stockton Rossini. Send Michael Riedel out there.
Are we going to post this one's picture up, too, on the website?
Of course. She's cute,
right?
It's already up on the website?
She's cute.
I'm not commenting on these things anymore.
Okay, comment on this one in New Jersey. This hot dog shop in Denville got in trouble because it's called Winnie's. And it says, grab yours here on the t-shirts. The employees wear t-shirts, grab yours here. And there's an arrow pointing down. But the arrow's pointing down to the fine print of the website.
Oh.
But it says, grab your weenies with an arrow pointing south. It's caused quite a stir at this hot dog shop.
And what have they done with the t-shirts? Can they still wear them?
They've sold out.
Oh.
They sold.
Of course they have.
They sold out on opening day. Now they've had to reorder more of them.
Oh, can we get them to send up?
Denville, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be there today, so. Okay.
Can you get some t-shirts for Len and Michael?
I'll see.
Can you wear it tomorrow, Natalie?
No.
Oh, I see. Weenies, grab yours here. Oh,
grab yours
here.
Well, with the arrow pointing down. That's where you grab your weenie.
We should be giving these two t-shirts away.
This fakakta, Michael
and Len Berman in the morning?
Oh, man. Terrible t-shirts.
This is a great t-shirt, I got to say.
Yeah, let's change our t-shirt to grab your weenies.
No.
Okay.
No.
Go check out the stuff on website. It's pure porn, folks. Hey, coming up, why is Nikki Haley leaving the UN? We have insight from ABC State Department correspondent Connor Finnegan. And stick around for a chance to win $1,000. That's coming up after Joe Bartlett has the news at 7:00.